The Spotlight report notes that successful knowledge and information management starts with an understanding and appreciation of benefits to both the landlord and its residents. This is something that can be embedded within organisations' governance and culture. Why is this so important?
Yeah, so it comes back to the human consequence that we've seen and that direct correlation between poor knowledge and information management and factors such as delay and poor communication. The report mentions about financial detriment and uncertainty and just overall poor complaints handling. And touching on what I mentioned earlier about the importance of evidencing your decisions, we found that even where the landlord has fulfilled its obligations, it leaves itself professionally vulnerable if it cannot evidence the action that it has taken, including a decision to not take any further action. So that is the essence of why it's important. But also sitting underneath that is if you have a culture that values and appreciates KIM, you're able to give your staff direction and structure and guidance, and there's a clearer sense of collective and individual responsibilities and roles as well. And you can then give those clear standards and impose them upon third parties such as contractors so that they also have that same structure and guidance and certainty. And we talk about in the report this vicious circle where a poor data culture exists, then it becomes strained further because it is then struggling to respond to complaints or requests for information. And we could see that in so many cases where there was already that culture in place and then any other demand on the service for anything to do with the information requests, it is then seen as a burden and then it then feeds back into that view of, oh, well, this is so time consuming and unimportant and I've got so many other things to do. So that was a really clear pattern that we saw emerging from our casework. I would say as well that the feedback that we received from our resident panel and some of the quotes that we received from them are really quite telling, so that the residents can feel it. It's palpable to them when this culture does exist. So some of the quotes that we put in the report, one resident said it's cultural, and they used that word and they said the issues are inherent. And another quote is that the landlord seems to blame each other internally and disagree. And we had other quotes around, one resident described it as an institutional deafness. So you can see from these strong sense of feelings that the people on the receiving end that should be first and foremost, they're acutely aware of when there are these cultural issues surrounding poor knowledge and information management. And I think in terms of what landlords need to do in order to prevent this or improve what they're already doing, it comes down to recommendations. So we do have recommendations specifically around this. So we talk about defining the oversight role of the governance and information management. So that comes back to what we're saying about have to really know your stock and essentially know your residents really well, and that you're using that data to inform business and financial planning. And a key part of that is having a knowledge and information strategy. And we deliberately use the word strategy rather than policy, because strategy is more all-encompassing. And a strategy should be defining whether you need an information asset register, for example, so that you have that log of what data you do hold, what you don't have, and what you might need. And that clarity around what are you trying to do when you're doing data mining, so having that outcomes focused approach and that clarity. And the strategy also needs to sit alongside the business strategy and a continuous service improvement agenda as well. And crucially, it comes back down to the point around expected standards. So not only having those standards around this is how we do it in our organisation and this is the bare minimum, if you like, it cannot go beneath this line, how you are then going to monitor those, and really important, the consequences of failing to adhere to them. So we saw so many cases where there seemed to be no repercussions, probably because there was no strategy or there was a poor data culture, but where there was continuous poor record keeping and data management, and there didn't seem to be any oversight of that. It wasn't being picked up through any kind of routine quality assurance processes. And where there was some indications perhaps it had been picked up, it was unclear what had then happened as a result. So that information wasn't then being used to say, well, how can we improve this and where are the gaps and what do we need to do to stop this from happening? We also go on to say as well about some of the training that we think that staff would benefit from. And I know this is something that our Centre for Learning is working on and be able to launch some e-learning to sit alongside in support of some of these recommendations. But we are recommending that landlords train staff on the requirements of the Equality Act. And this ties in with what we're talking about, the vulnerable residents and the importance of recording that, any reasonable adjustments that residents may need. So making sure staff feel really confident around their roles and responsibilities to do that. We're also talking about a review of safeguarding policies and procedures, and safeguarding training may or may not sit alongside that. And then, of course, staff do need training on the systems that they are using. And coming back to the point around systems, we're saying that staff need to know how to use them. And also it's for the landlord to conduct their own analysis of the suitability for the system. So we're not here to tell a landlord whether their system is or isn't fit for purpose. That is something that only they will know. And they need to be doing an analysis of that system. And do they think that it is a system issue? Is it fit for purpose? If not, what needs to happen? So there is a lot of talk about a centralised system, and like it's touched on before, but also what do you need to sit alongside that, because the system itself isn't ever going to be the solution. But what we can say that any system that you do use, it needs to be easy to interrogate, and everyone needs to be able to extract the data that they need to be able to use. And particularly when it comes to mergers, we're really urging landlords to carry out their due diligence of their systems prior to the mergers, because we are finding that it is almost an afterthought, or certainly appears to be an afterthought. And newly merged landlords are then finding themselves in a situation where systems aren't communicating with one another. And they may be able to set a task. Certain members of staff may be able to set a task to other departments, but then that department isn't able to then say whether that task has been completed. And that's one of the examples that we give. And it really should be something that's first and foremost in terms of when you're thinking about merger, making sure that you don't end up with any corporate memory loss in terms of that loss of data when you're going through any kind of structural organisational change.